Please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. We're in Titus in the New Testament. Titus chapter 1, as we begin a series of messages encouraging the family. Titus chapter 1, verse 13. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love and patience, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the families of Cooper Baptist Church. And Lord, we ask that you'll speak to us this morning. Please speak through me. I'm nothing without you. And Lord, we thank you this morning for our families. We thank you for the grandparents, Lord, of our church and the spiritual grandparents that we have. What a blessing they are to us as a church family. We do thank you for them. And Lord, we do again thank you for America and the opportunity to live here in this free society. And Lord, again, we do thank you for the freedom we have in our Lord and Savior, in you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Encouraging the family, and today is Grandparents' Day, and appreciate Miss Tammy and the children's team that provided a breakfast for the grandparents this morning. So, Grandparents' Day, just not too long ago, I was talking to a young minister, and sometimes, you know, it's easier to see what someone else needs to do when what you need to do may be right in your face and you don't see it. Well, I was talking to a young minister, and he was telling me some things that was happening, and I had one of those aha moments. And in my aha moment, I shared with him what I would do in that situation. And this young minister would plan things, and the parents would drop the kids off and then go have a mom and dad night. And there he would be with the people he was ministering to by himself, needing their help. So my aha moment was, you need to get the old people involved. You need to get some grandparents involved, because they will be faithful. They will be committed. They will even tell you, get out of the way, let me do it. Why? Because they're faithful. And if you get some grandparents involved, then maybe the younger ones will take notice someday and realize, hey, this stuff at the church just doesn't happen. It takes volunteers. That's what it takes. I brag on you, Cooper Baptist Church, many times, that when I'm asked about you, I say that Cooper Baptist Church is a church that the older people in it will know your children's names. I'm proud of that. A good example of a grandparent's love in the church, I want to say Brother Ron and Miss Sue Moore. They teach that young Sunday school class. Isn't it 5 years old that y'all teach? That is grandparents and a Sunday school class with grandparents' love teaching about Jesus. You know, that another example. When Brother Sean Childers was overseas serving our country, was you in Afghanistan or Iraq? Iraq, for the third time. Serving our country, Jeremy, fine young man now, but he was much smaller, and he would sit in Ron Moore's lap every service. Y'all remember that, those of you who are here? That's a grandparent's love. And that is a type of love that young people in the church, if we refuse it, or we look down upon it, or we don't appreciate it, then there's something wrong with the church. You see, it takes young and old people in a church to make a church. If you just want to have a young people's church, then I don't think you have a church. Aren't you glad, though, that we have a church with babies in it? Hallelujah. Hey, don't be embarrassed. I love babies. We have a church with old people in it, and we have life in it. We have babies in our church, so it takes young and old to make a New Testament blood-bought church. There's something special about a grandparent's love. A true grandparent, physical, with grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and there's something special about the spiritual grandparents that we have in our church. We have so many of you. I named Brother Ron, Miss Sue, but there's so many. If I started naming everybody, it would take my time this morning. We appreciate you, the grandparents. I had a special upbringing that I had great-grandparents and grandparents. Not everybody could say that. But I had grandparents that loved me, and you know, the church, the Lonnie and Gladys Evans, the church was their life. It was their social arena, my grandparents. And listening to my mom and daddy talk, my mother lived in Ball, Louisiana, but they would come home to Bela to visit my great-grandparents, Ma and Louis Windham. And my mom and daddy, when they were young teenagers, would sit in the back of Fellowship Baptist Church while the preacher was preaching. You know what they did? You won't believe this. They held hands underneath the songbook at Fellowship Baptist Church, the center of their life, the church, the grandparents, was the church was their social life. It was everything to them. That's sound doctrine, by the way. Did y'all know that? Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. And I thank God for the heritage that I have in my family, and you ought to thank God for the heritage that you have in your families. If you don't have a heritage, then you start one. You start the traditions. You start the heritage in your families to love the Lord. In our text this morning, we see that sound doctrine applies to how we live and act. And certainly, the older people in the faith know this and live this. And sound doctrine literally means healthy teaching, wholesome teaching. It's healthy to listen to it. It's healthy to study it. It's wholesome and healthy teaching. Sound doctrine, when it's healthy and wholesome, it will apply to how you live. It'll change your life. God's Word will change our lives. in verses 15 through chapter 2, verse 1, we see that to the pure all things are pure. And in verse 16 it says they profess to know God. That's talking about false teaching. They say they know God, but in works or in their lifestyle, they deny Him. Being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Why? Because they were giving heed to fables and commandments of men instead of believing and trusting God's Word. So they had a false teaching, but sound doctrine is wholesome. It is healthy teaching. You see, and yet they were out of bounds, the false teachers. They were disqualified and abominable and disobedient to have a good lifestyle. Why? Well, imagine with me, have you ever seen this? It's funny when it happens in football, but in life it's a very, very sad thing for someone to be out of bounds to serve the Lord. But in football, have you ever noticed one of those running backs runs a spectacular run and breaks tackles and all that, and yet they step foot out of bounds way back yonder, and yet they run it, and then they do a little dance in the end zone and do whatever they do. And then the touchdown's called back, yards back. Why? Because they step foot out of bounds. Disqualified. Doesn't count. Let me tell you what sound doctrine is. You ready? It's about Jesus Christ. And if you're trying to serve God and not be in Christ Jesus, you're disqualified. It don't matter how good you run, how many tackles you break. Doesn't matter how far you ran. If you're not in Jesus Christ, you're disqualified. You're out of bounds. To love God and to serve God, you must be in Christ Jesus. Anything else is a false teaching, disqualified. You can't live for God unless you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Disqualified. And it's sad, it's sickening to the stomach to see someone in life run a good life and run all the distance, but they're disqualified, they're out of bounds because they don't know Jesus. Oh, it's so sad. Heartbreaking to see that happen. Sound doctrine applies to how we live and act. See, it's more than just saying, I know Jesus. It's living for Jesus. It's living godly. Living godly. You see, only God's Word and God can change the heart of a man. Fables and commandments of men cannot change the heart. God in His Word can. Amen? That's what makes new creation. So sound doctrine applies to how we live and act. And we even see in chapter 2, but as for you, speaking to the church and to the pastor of the church, this is a pastoral letter written to a young pastor. And the aged apostle says, but for as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, wholesome and healthy. Verse 2, that the older men be sober, means to be temperate and reserved. Also, the older men be reverent, dignified, sensible when you talk with them or when they lead out, they're very sensible. Also, it says that to be temperate, which means to have self-control, sound in faith, in love and in patience. In other words, sound in faith means to be stable. You're stabilized in the faith. You're stabilized in love. You're stable and persevering in the faith. Stable. A rock. Someone that you can count on. Faithful. That's the aged men. We also see a little bit about how they ought to be by looking at the younger men. Look with me in verse 6. It says, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. That's really the only thing that a young man is supposed to be, sober-minded, which means to be sensible. The other couple of verses is to the pastor, but if it applies to the man in the office of the pastor, it ought to apply to the aged men too. Amen? At least I can amen that. Let's read on and see what it says. And it says that the younger men be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. What can we do with that? Stay in God's Word. When you make decisions, when you live your life, do all that you can do to look in God's Word for guidance, for the authority in your life. Do not go out on your own. Do not make decisions on your own. Seek the guidance of the Lord and base your decisions on God's Word. I want to remind you, experiences does not interpret Scripture. Scripture is what interprets our experiences. Our experiences in life never trumps God's Word. Never. Well, that's what God's Word says, but listen to what happened to me once upon a time. Well, that's good and well, but did you trust God and His Word through it? You see? It's God's Word. The older men, be a ground, a pillar on a solid rock, which is on God's Word and in Christ. Someone that is faithful and sensible. Now the older women, which takes lots more verses. May take some time to get through this about the women. Brother Dan, Miss Barbara's down here. They get the drippings of the message. Every time I use one of Brother Dan's terms, I got to pay him money. That was one of Brother Dan's terms, the drippings of the message. Will y'all quit elbowing each other, please? Okay. The older women. Verse 3, it says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior. And that is what is fitting and proper. And a Christian woman in 1 Timothy chapter 2, you can just turn left. 1 Timothy chapter 2, turn left in your Bible, verse 10. It says, but which is proper for women, professing godliness with good works. Again, sound doctrine affects your lifestyle. Okay? So, older women, be reverent. Also, it says, not slanderers. And in other words, malicious gossips. A slanderer is another word used for the devil. He is the accuser of the brethren. I want to be serious a minute. Listen. One of the most sickest things that I can see is for a woman to slander her husband. Don't do that. One of the most godliness women I know, sometimes the husbands aren't perfect, okay? None of us are. And I have seen husbands, even in older age, they start slipping some and all that. And I've seen godly women cover their husbands. Never do they speak ill of their husband. I admire that. It takes a strong, strong person to do that. not slanderers. And it also says, I'm trying to find my place. Oh, not given to much wine. Well, does that mean you can drink a glass or not? Not much? What does that mean? Wine was for medicine back then. Timothy could drink a little bit for his stomach's sake. Someone asked me one time, well, since Timothy can drink a little bit, can I? I said, well, is your name Timothy? No. Wine was for medicine. Don't let that medicine control you. Not given to much of it. Teachers are good things. What are they supposed to teach? Well, verses 4 and 5 tells us the good things that they teach. Verse 4, that they admonish the young women. So what are they supposed to teach the young women? To love their husbands. To love their children. Love is more than words. It's sacrifice. It's being there. It's to love their husbands and to love their children. How do you teach that? Sound doctrine always affects your lifestyle. So one of the primary ways you can teach younger women to love their husbands and their children is to show them how to do it. Do it yourself. Love your husbands and love their children. To be discreet, chaste. In other words, it's great to see women to dress pretty, to be beautiful. Women are beautiful, amen? But please don't dress sexy. You don't have to do that. Be discreet, be chaste. Older women, teach them how. Teach them how. Homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. In other words, good managers of their households. Good managers. See, the false teachers, if you study what they were teaching in 1 and 2 Timothy, matter of fact, our Sunday school lesson hit on it this morning. The false teachers were leading gullible women astray, and they were disrupting what? Households. Which could mean house churches, or it could mean the families. It could be both. You see? So there is a chain of command in the family. It says to obey your husbands, to be good managers of the household. It means a manager is something that the owner, which you are co-owners, but the person in charge can trust the manager. Okay? Good homemakers, managers of the household, obedient to their own husbands, there is a chain of command. Why I'm using those terms is because this word obedient is a military term. A military term, and any number of you who have served in the military, there is a chain of command, and to be obedient means that you do what the command those above you ask you or tell you to do. Does that make women our slaves, men? No. But how you treat your wife is how good your prayer life is, by the way. If you treat your wife bad, your prayer won't hit the ceiling. Okay? We are to submit to one another first as Christians. Then in the home, the wife submits to her husband. The husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. But older women need to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be good managers of the household. Wouldn't that turn America around? Wouldn't that turn the church around? Sound, wholesome teaching. Sound, wholesome doctrine. We are reading this morning about the family. So, it says that the Word of God, verse 5, that the Word of God may not be blasphemed. Anything other than that. A teaching that teaches women to leave their husbands or not to submit to their husbands, or husbands not to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Any teaching that says something ought to come between both of you is not sound doctrine. Nothing should come between you and your wife, man. Nothing. Nothing. God first and then your wife. Your wife. So, grandparents, oh, how we need you to have such verses in God's Word towards the elder in the church to teach us. The elders in the church to be our example. We need you. In any church that does not have the privilege of senior adults and great witnesses and faithful people in the faith, a church that does not have senior adults is missing out. They're missing out. Be our example. Obedient, submissive. I missed one little old note here that I wrote down. To be obedient, submissive, to be a manager in the household. You work together. But if you usurp the authority of the man of the house, woman, you're messing your children up. It depends on what you want to raise in your home. Okay? Depends on what you want to raise in your home. So being submissive, working together, there is a chain of command. And we need that example, men and women. We need the privilege of having you, being faithful. And when we do sing songs like Amazing Grace and others that Brother Roland leads us, praise songs and hymns and our worship in the Lord, when we get to those stanzas or lines in the praise songs, like in Amazing Grace, when it says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that hath brought me thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we worship and sing songs and words like that in our worship, and we're worshiping God, it's a special thing to really hear people that are experiencing it or have experienced it themselves worshiping God. We need your example. We have plenty of examples on how to lead away from the church or to stand on the outskirts of the church. But we need people to be our examples on how to live it and worship it with meaning. Happy Grandparents' Day. It's a privilege to have you in our church and in our church family. If you need, young or old, if you need to respond in any way, or if you'd like to be part of this church family, or if you'd like to receive Christ, you're out of bounds apart from Christ. Plain and simple, you're out of bounds. Disqualified to serve the Lord. No matter how well you run, you need Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word. I thank you for this beautiful church family. We do thank you for your word. Lord, help me. Help my church family, Lord, to live this sound doctrine. For the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.